Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes football reporter, John Steppe. I'm excited to be joined by Gazette Hawkeyes women's basketball reporter, Jeff Linder. Jeff, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
So, first of all, recording this before Lisa Bluder talks on Tuesday and before we have the all Big Ten awards, although I think we can probably both guess who's the Big Ten player of the year. Let's start off with Molly Davis. Obviously, a pretty significant injury occurred on Sunday. What's the latest that we know at this point as we record?
Well, the news got better yesterday. It sounds like Molly's going to be doing some rehab next week on her knee with hope of playing in the NCAA tournament. I think that means she's out this week for Big Ten, although that hasn't been announced. So my guess is she's out this week, rehabbing next week, and is wait and see for the NCAA. My guess is they won't need her in the first round. But you know, second round into the Sweet 16, if they get that far, I think she's a part that they're going to need to have.
Great segue into my next question. How does this team change when you don't have Molly Davis on the court?
Well, you lose another ball handler, probably their second best ball handler. You lose, I think, their second best shot creator behind Caitlin Clark, somebody that can, you know, get to the lane and shoot these little floaters that, you know, she's pretty effective at. Lose a lot of depth this way. Somebody's going to have to start. I think it's going to be Sydnia Folter. I think that means more minutes for Kylie Fehrbach, might mean a few more minutes for Taylor McCabe. I don't know. It's certainly not good news that they'll be out without her at Big Ten tournament. Can they win it without her? Yeah. But it's going to be a challenge.
And then that first game, either Wisconsin or Penn State, is there one of those that you think is, I don't know if more amenable is the word for it, but you think would be a more favorable Friday game for the Hawkeyes?
Well, I think they're both pretty favorable. Wisconsin hasn't beat them in, I don't know, 15 years, something like that. I think it's 28, 29 in a row that Iowa's won. When they play Penn State, they get in the habit of scoring a lot of points, you know, 105, 110 points against Penn State. I think they're both pretty favorable draws for Iowa, but then it gets pretty dicey once you get to the semis.
And then you were mentioning the semis against Indiana, and then if they win that, presumably championship against Ohio State, both of those teams 1-1 against Iowa in the regular season. Is there one of those that you think is more of a challenge than the other for Iowa?
They're both going to be very challenging, and I wouldn't count Maryland out of that mix either as a sixth seed. I think they're 60. Maybe I haven't even looked, but you know, if Maryland's in the mix and pulls off an upset, that's certainly a challenge as well. You get to the point where you play Indiana or you play Ohio State, and it's a coin flip game.
And then a couple weeks ago on College Game Day, Andrea Carter made the comment about Iowa not being a Final Four in its current iteration or its current formation. Obviously, Iowa has won a few games since then. Do you see Iowa right now, as they've been playing in, let's say, the last three or four games? Have they done enough to show you that this could be a Final Four team?
Well, you certainly can't rule it out. And I don't know what she meant when she said in their current formation. It's not like you're going to make a 11th hour trade and get somebody in the portal in March. So they are what they are. Do I think? Yeah, they could go as far as they went last year. They could get beat in the second or third round. It just, that's just kind of the way women's basketball has evolved into. And that's a very, very good thing in that, you know, the top 20 to 30 teams are all pretty good. And if I was a one seed or a two seed, you know, that 8-9 or 7-10 matchup in the second round, even if it's at Carver, isn't going to be a cakewalk.
And is there like one thing that you think is kind of the X factor in terms of, okay, if they do blank, they should have a pretty good chance of going to Cleveland.
They give the ball to 22 a lot. They could get to Cleveland. Now, somebody's going to have to – maybe the X factor is Gabby Marshall. She's had two really good games back-to-back now. There's no debate that she's been a little off through, you know, quite a bit of the season. But she really got it going against Minnesota. She followed that with another really good performance against Ohio State. If she could be that fourth option and get them 8 to 12 points a game, I think they're going to have a really good chance of advancing quite a ways again.
And then as people are at the danger of looking a little too far ahead, as people are looking at the various bracket projections, if either Iowa is a 2, is there a 1 seed? Or if Iowa is a 1, is there a 2 seed that you think would be better to avoid? Or a more, you know, all those teams obviously are tremendous, but is there a more or less favorable bracket setup based on what you're seeing from kind of the current top 10 teams?
Well, you don't want to see South Carolina again. They're far and away the best team in the country. I'm not sure they want to see LSU, you know, as a 2-3 matchup or something like that. I don't know. I think they can play with anybody that's a 1 seed other than maybe South Carolina. That's looking way down the road. And other than South Carolina, I don't think there's anybody that you know is going to be a 1 seed. I think everything's going to shuffle its way, you know, going to work its way out throughout these conference tournaments. I think the winner of the Big Ten, if it's Ohio State or Iowa, will be a 1 seed. Perhaps Connecticut, probably Stanford, especially if they win the Pac-12. But other than South Carolina, I don't think you can write down anybody in ink that's going to be a 1 seed.
And then kind of looking back at this past game against Ohio State, quite the list of celebrities there. What's it been like seeing this program go in not that long of a time from having the curtains down to now having Travis Scott there?
Yeah, I didn't know who Travis Scott was before yesterday. And frankly, I didn't know who was it, Jason Sudeikis. I didn't know him by name. I just, you know, I haven't seen Ted Lasso. I don't know any of that stuff. But yeah, the people that are pop culture friendly or in the know there, they, you know, they think that's pretty cool. So I know who Sue Bird was. I know who Lynette Woodard is. So, you know, the other stuff to me is just kind of periphery. Nolan Ryan was kind of cool.
Yeah, really. And it sounds like he spent quite a few dollars too for those tickets. So
he can afford it.
Yes. I think he has a couple pennies he can put together there.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of this, you know, selling out this entire season, how much of this momentum do you think will be here to stay in 2024, 25 and beyond?
Well, it's going to be a completely different team. I think that the fan support is still going to be there to a large extent, you know, for the near future. I don't think they'll sell the place out every, you know, season ticket wise, but I think, you know, they could average 8,000 to 10,000 a game next year. I think that would be good. That's kind of where they were a couple years ago. And maybe it'll be higher than that. Maybe it'll be more like 10 to 12 and maybe sell out the big games. What will this team be next year? I don't know. The recruiting class they've got coming in is good. Ava Hayden from Oregon, my guess is going to be the best post they have next year and will enable them to put Hannah Stolke back at the 4, which is where I think she belongs. The two guards from Wisconsin are both very good. I saw both of them in person. And Kelly Levine, she's Miss Iowa Basketball, just announced today. And they're going to miss Aaliyah Guyton, who I think might have been the heir apparent at point guard. But I think maybe now it might be Taylor Stremlo. So I think it's going to be a very good team next year, a team that probably will make the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's probably a Big Ten championship contender, but maybe a team that could get that double bye and be a top 4 team.
And then with Clark, it seems like a busy week for you on the women's basketball beat. In this last week, also Clark announcing to go to WNBA. What was kind of your takeaway from that decision?
I was a little surprised with the timing, but I get it. I get that she wants to have that out of the way before, you know, we get to crunch time here, you know, with the Big Ten and the NCAA, and not have that hanging over her head. The more time passed, the more I thought she was going to go. And I think personally, it's the right choice. I think they're going to love her in Indiana. And I think she'll make a really big impact in the WNBA.
And then scholarship situation wise, I guess that probably it would be a good problem that anybody would take, but I assume that kind of takes a scholarship headache away as well.
Yeah. Well, they gain five, they lose five. So they're right back where they were. I think that'll put them at 14 next year. So I didn't know that Sharon Goodman would be departing. That one was announced as well. That one actually might have been a little bit more of a surprise than Caitlin deciding to go. But I get that. You know, she's been there 4 years. She's played three. excuse me. And she wants to get on with life. I think she wants to go to nursing school. She'll be a great nurse. Just a great human being. And I think she's going to do a lot for this world.
And then one last thing before I let you go and start packing for Minneapolis, along with the eight other things before that. What's the thing you're most going to be watching for this week in Minneapolis?
I think the Marshall thing that I said earlier is a big thing. How can Iowa compete against the posts? You know, if they play Wisconsin in the first round, Wisconsin's got one of the best posts in the league in Sarah Williams. And can Iowa hold its own with her? You know, the assumption is that they'll be the better team at four other positions. So, can they just continue to outscore people? And I think once we get to Saturday, I think it's going to get to be a lot of fun.
Well, Jeff, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And thanks to our listeners for tuning into another episode. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Get a daily update from the Gazette with our daily news podcast. Add it to your podcast player or your Alexa-friendly device to get a bite-sized local news update each day. Check it out at thegazette.com/podcasts.